Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's the show where we take a look at the news from around the football world. And this week I'm joined by Mike Atkins.
How's it going?
And Sam Abasaki.
Making his debut.
It is your debut.
Yes, man. Thanks for having me, guys, man. I really appreciate it.
That's all right. It's earned. It's not given. It was earned. So today, we're going to talk about how bad Chelsea are.
Oh, that's why you have me on it.
We're going to talk about how bad Spurs are as well, don't worry.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
But to start with, we've got to let you know who our sponsor is today. This week's episode is brought to you by BOTB, originally called Best of the Best. You might remember seeing them in airports as a kid running competitions to win a car. Back then, a ticket cost 50 quid to enter. But these days, they operate exclusively online. They've been doing it for over 20 years, and a ticket can be as little as 85p. So you go to BOTB.com and you select a car you want to win from a range of 180.
Cool. That's mad.
There are Aston Martins. There are Mini Coopers. There are McLarens. There are Teslas.
But you're after a...
There are Volvos. Well, I had a little play around and I was kind of like, okay, I went straight for like a Land Rovery, Range Rovery 4x4. I don't actually remember which it was, but it looked like the one from Point Break, so that's what I wanted. Okay. Then I went for some Volvo Estates because they're very safe and you can put kids in them and a dog in the back. It's very important.
Family, of course. Lives.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one, I was just like, but daddy wants a Maserati. So like then I put in a Maserati at the end. And the ticket costs a different amount depending on the value of the car.
Sure. Mm.
So if you go for a supercar, it could be as much as £7. If you go for a car at the cheaper end, a more affordable end, it'll
like
be
a mini.
Around... Yeah, like a Mini's a pound. Like, but they go as low as 85p. And then once you've chosen that car, you have to do a game of skill to see if you can win it. So there's a spot the ball competition. So there'll be a picture from a football match. Probably not a football match you've seen. I think I had one from like the Irish, not even the Irish Premier League. I think it was a local Irish league. And the ball has been removed from it. And you need to kind of select the coordinates of where you think the ball should be. And you can draw lines of sight from like the player's eyes. So you can try and work
That's
it out from
mad.
That. But it's not actually where the ball was. The winner is determined by a panel of judges. They determine where the ball should be. And then they kind of match up. Okay, the closest people to that to determine who wins. So that panel of judges includes ex-pros, referees. So it is a game of skill. You know, it's like figuring out whether you kind of, your view aligns with ex-pros on where the ball is in this image based on how the players are behaving.
Because a lot of time with spot the ball, it's usually they're not even looking at the ball.
Exactly. Yeah, it's basically cheating. Whereas with this, it's like, it doesn't really work that way. And there's a winner every week guaranteed. So I think over the last 20 years, they've given away over £31 million worth of cars.
Bloody hell.
To over 500 winners.
That's crazy.
There's a guaranteed winner every week. Insurance for the first year is included on the car. And you can also win cash. I think you can win 20 grand to go alongside the car in case that wasn't enough.
That's mad.
And if you win, it isn't like the website just like sends you an email. They like track you down and surprise you. So they've got videos on their website of people finding out they've just won like a Porsche or like a Ferrari or whatever. And absolutely losing their mind.
That's sick, man.
It's really nice.
That's mad.
It's genuinely really nice. So you have to be over 16 to enter, but it is worldwide. You can play it from anywhere in the world. Just go to botb.com/extra and you could be next week's dream car winner. That's botb.com/extra. But we've dealt with the winners. Let's move on to the losers. And it's Jose Mourinho. Is he already kind of on the skids at Tottenham? Because 10 days ago, I thought that Tottenham were in a really good position, right? They had a real shot at a Champions League place. They were still in contention for the top four. But after the announcement of Man City's ban, you were kind of like, okay, like now you've got like a double chance at it. But since then, Heung-min Son's been ruled out potentially for the season with this broken arm. They lost the first leg of their round of 16 tie in the Champions League against Leipzig 1-0 at home. Then were beaten 2-1 by Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which, by the way, is the first time Mourinho's ever lost home and away to the same team in a single campaign. He's never done that before.
That's like his whole career, not just the Premier League.
His whole career.
That's a mad stat, though.
That is mad.
That is wild.
I mean, he has managed some of the biggest teams, but...
Well, and Chelsea had that insane like home run, right? Like, where they were unbeaten at home for forever. But it's still genuinely crazy. And just, I think what's been troubling in those last couple of games, it's not that they're a bit thin, because, you know, you understand that it's a difficult time of the season, yeah, and you understand that losing Kane and Son, like, those are big losses for anyone. But it's how comfortably second best they've been.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're a Chelsea fan. The Chelsea game was just like a bloodbath.
Yeah, I was shocked, man. I genuinely thought that Spurs were going to come out and come, yeah, at us, like, fully. But from the first kickoff, like, they just didn't want it as much. Mm. I don't know if that's down to, obviously, they're not seeing regulars like Son and Kane in the side for, like, some sort of motivation. But they were just second best at everything. Like, even the goal that they scored was so jammy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's been their story for the last few weeks. The goals that they're scoring, the games that they're winning, just been on a jammy vibe. So, I don't know, man.
It's true, actually, isn't it? Because, like, quite often, like, they've got over... Like, against Villa, they only got over the line, like, in the last half hour. And the thing is, against Leipzig and Chelsea, against better sides, coming on strong in the last half hour just isn't enough. Yeah. Like, you're already 2-0 down. Against Leipzig, they weren't, you know, they were only one down.
Yeah.
But I felt like the last half hour, Leipzig just kind of allowed them to have the ball. Mm. Do you not think?
Mm. Yeah, I think I think the problem with Spurs is it's almost like their window's closing. They're getting to the point now where a lot of their players are, I mean, Vertonghen's early 30s, Alderweireld's 30. I was going to bring up Kane, but Kane's had such a purple patch that you almost expect him to drop off at some point, mm-hmm, regardless of injuries. And it's almost like they need to now, like, rejuvenate that squad. And you can't see Mourinho necessarily rejuvenating that squad. Because when he went into Chelsea to begin with back in, like, 2004, there was already Abramovich had already been there for a year. Mm-hmm. They were already halfway to the team that they were.
Yeah, like, Makélélé was already there, I think.
Yeah, 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 they had a lot of big players already there. Yeah. And they don't really have that... Well, I know we always say it, they don't have that financial backing at Spurs, mm, compared to what he's had at, well, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Inter Milan, Manchester United.
They have made good signings, though. I mean, like, Bergwijn is young. He looks great.
Really, sure, good.
Ndombele is fantastic, but he and Mourinho already seem to be at odds. Like, is that worrying? Because, like, during his second period at Chelsea, that was when I started to feel like, oh, this is a different Mourinho to, yeah, what we've seen in the past. Because I used to think with Mourinho, a match goes the way that, you know, like, they lose a match unexpectedly, Mourinho will create a controversy out of nowhere. He'll start a beef with the manager. He'll complain about the referees. Mm. He'll do whatever he needs to take the heat off his players. But in that second spell at Chelsea, it seemed like he felt, maybe it was Real Madrid changed him. He felt like he had enemies around every corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like this has changed with him?
I think coming into Spurs, he seemed a lot happier. And,
yeah.
And, like, it was strange seeing a Mourinho that was just smiling all the time, obviously coming out, just saying, just being happy. But obviously, like, with the losses that they've had recently, I can kind of see the pressure build up again.
Yeah.
And obviously he's coming with the excuses that we obviously know that is clear. You're missing two of your best players.
Sure.
But at the same time, they've still got quality in their team. They shouldn't be doing maybe as bad as they are doing, or looking as vulnerable in certain games. So it's a weird one. I don't really know what Mourinho we've got right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because he's at Spurs, he's clearly not got the same targets that he had at Chelsea and Real Madrid, because they're not as successful as those clubs. So if he does now make the top five, he can say, I've had a successful season. And they can't really say, okay, cool, we won a trophy, because you haven't won a trophy in ages. Do you know what I'm saying? So It's a strange one. It's a strange one with Mourinho now.
If you bring him in, I feel like it's kind of like... The thing about Mourinho is he says, like, I'm not necessarily going to play the most fun football, but we are going to win things. And if they don't win things, then you're not left with much.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say... It's not like the Wenger era where you could say, at least we're playing attractive football. It's not like, you know, Lampard or Arteta or even Solskjaer now, where you can say, all right, well, because, like, the fans have a connection to the manager and, like, he's still learning, like, oh, there's promise for the future. With Mourinho, you're like, this is what Mourinho is. Like, I don't know, it just feels like he's already making excuses. So he was talking about levels of fatigue. Like, do you buy this stuff, or do you just feel like this is Mourinho kind of, like, getting in his excuses early or lobbying the board for more money?
I mean, it's the new Mourinho, isn't it? I think when he came into Spurs initially, that was the first time he'd been out of work, hadn't it? From being sacked by United to picking up the job at Spurs.
He was out of work for a while after Chelsea, like between Chelsea and United. But yeah, like, basically before those two, he'd gone straight from one job to the next, his whole career, right?
Yeah. Gone back to work.
Yeah, I think so. From, like, was it like Benfica to Porto?
Well, Porto to Chelsea, Chelsea to Inter, Inter to Real, and then Real back to Chelsea. Like, those were all pretty smooth.
Yeah,
like,
and even the yeah. space that he had between Chelsea and United was like, yeah, wasn't as much as the period.
Yeah, but he almost had a year off this time around, which I think you see managers have a year of, like, you see it with Pochettino, who's now itching to get back into football. Yeah. You see it with sort of Guardiola having that year off after Barcelona. So that Mourinho came back as like a rejuvenated character, but because of his history and obviously winning so much, it's almost as if he's fallen back into his own ways. You know what I mean? Like, he's fallen back into the same traps he would always fall back into, that he always did at Manchester United, at the second time at Chelsea. And I think I might have said this when he was hired at Spurs, that if you look at his club's history, especially sort of Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Chelsea, United, his level of success has gone down, and the amount of chaos he's left behind has gone up with each and every job.
Sure.
And it's, you can't see that changing.
Really?
You can't see that. I'm not saying Spurs won't win anything. I think Spurs are perfectly capable of, you know, getting in an FA Cup or something, but I can't see how, when he leaves, Spurs will be in a better position.
Yeah,
really?
Regardless of winning trophies, just the club as a whole, I can't see them being in a better position.
Not even the squad? Like, because I look at them and I think, well, at least this squad, there are young players there I really rate, and there are more young players than there were at United when he left. Like, with United, he was bringing in older guys, and like, when he left, like, there wasn't a huge amount of young talent. Like, Rashford had been there before him. Martial had been there before him. Like, so he brought in Bailly, who's like, to be fair, not really his fault that Bailly was injured all the time.
Sure.
But like, now at Spurs, I just think, okay, yes, like Kane does have injury issues and the back line is aging. But I also look around that team and I think, okay, like Ndombele and Lo Celso, Bergwijn, Ali, they're all really young and Sessegnon really good.
But can you see them being, say Mourinho does stick around for 2 years, doesn't leave till 2022.
Sure.
Can you see I don't know how old Bergwijn is.
21 actually.
But can you see a 24-year-old Bergwijn being significantly better in 2 years?
Well,
can you see a 24-year-old Ndombele, 25-year-old Ndombele being significantly better in 2 years?
I can see Ndombele being a baller.
Can you see a 22-year-old Sessegnon being significantly better?
Well, I don't know about Sessegnon, right?
Because he's not playing.
Yeah, in the Leipzig game.
This wasn't in squad.
Mourinho said, going to this game was like turning up to a fight with a gun without bullets.
He loves making statements. He thought of that before the game. Easily, definitely.
But then I was just like, I looked at the bench and he was like, oh, well, we knew that our front line was really thin. And then I looked at the bench and I was like, he put Dier and Ndombele and Skip on the bench and left out Sessegnon entirely.
But it depends.
And I was like, if I knew my front line was a bit weak, I wouldn't put three midfielders on the bench. Like, put a winger there. Yeah. Like, I don't
But
understand.
It depends what you think of Sessegnon. Because then, is Sessegnon, I mean,
He's played him a bit, though.
I know he's a winger. I know that we all think he should be playing on the left wing. When he was at his best at Fulham, it was when he was playing as a left winger, sort of Bale-esque transformation. But if Mourinho sees him as a left back, then why is he going to put him on the bench?
I don't think he does see him as a left back. No? I think he sees him as a winger. Like, when he
said, just not good enough.
Yeah, I think that's it. Mm. I think he genuinely just thinks like he's not ready for the Champions League, because I think Mourinho has like a really old man attitude to like players. He's like, nah, I want my experienced guys in the Champions League. I want my 28-year-olds who've got like 30 appearances in the Champions League.
I mean, was it when he was at Chelsea the second time, or maybe at Manchester United, he produced that list of players? It's like, oh, I've given these 30 players in my career their first team debuts.
And
it's people like Lenny Pidgley, who played like one game in goal for Chelsea in like 2005, and then is now playing in like the seventh tier of English football. It's like, these players, you can't say you've given these players breaks because they're not established. Like, you can give him McTominay. But you can't really, off the top of my head, recently, you can't really give him anyone else's crediting Mourinho with producing these young players.
Was McTominay really him? Like, I think it was Solskjaer.
No, I think it was. I think he gave a lot of confidence to McTominay.
I feel like McTominay was very much like teacher's pet.
Yeah.
Sure. He's come on a lot more under Solskjaer, sure, but Mourinho
gave him that initial
gave him that run of games, which you could probably say meant that Solskjaer kept them in the team, because he was like, it's like with Declan Rice at West Ham. It's sort of that You've got to bring him in somewhere. I was just trying to think of a comparison. You get that young player in who's from the academy, and it's like, yes, this is what this team is all about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you almost sort of, if you take him out and things don't go your way, it's not as good as if you leave the player in and they don't go your way. Mm. It's like, at least you're giving that player game time.
Sure. And I suppose Mourinho, it gives the fans something to connect to, at least.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, that's the thing. We'll come to this with Chelsea a little bit later. But I mean, like, having those youth players in the squad does, like, it does give you a sense of building something, and it does make the fans feel at least like, you know what, like, this will be really important for those players. But I mean, for Spurs, the squad is thin. Injuries are a problem. The back line is old. They're still in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And now they are, like, in sixth place, and they're only a point behind Man United in fifth. How do we see their season going? Because FA Cup, I think they've got Norwich. I'd expect them to go through. Champions League, I don't know about you guys, I think they'll go out.
Yeah, I think it's done. I think
because you lost at home.
Yeah, and Leipzig are just, they're really good. Yeah, like, they're better than Spurs right now. So I expect them to win. But at the same time, I feel like the media always win with Mourinho. Like, when he first came back, he was like this new man, like, new sense of life. And he genuinely brought Spurs back to a decent position. Yeah, they're not in the top four, but they're battling now. I think he's maybe got the third most points since he's been back. Don't quote me on that.
Do you think
that had Pochettino stayed, Spurs would have continue to struggle?
Would they be in the same situation
as Arsenal?
I think they were done.
So Mourinho has improved.
He's improved them 100%.
But only in the way I think that, like, kind of any decent manager would have. Like, if they'd got in Ancelotti instead of Mourinho, I don't think there'd be a meaningful difference. Like, if they just got a decent manager, a good manager even, like, who was something different, I just think they'd had enough of Pochettino, like, truly. And I think often, like, people give managers who come in credit for changing things, whereas actually, like, it's just the fact they're not the previous guy that makes a difference.
Yeah, I do feel you on that. I don't know, man. I feel like he doesn't need to do all of the statements and the media stuff that he does, because it kind of makes it look worse. Like, if he just let his team do the talking and his situations do the talking, we already know your best players are out. We already know that your team is gone through, like, a transitional period where you've lost the manager that you've had for a few years. You've lost a key player in Eriksen. A few players are getting older. We can see the scenario that you're in. So you don't really have to say, oh, we're out on our legs, we're fatigued and stuff like that, because that's when it gives people a reason to get onto you. Like, I think he just needs to...
The way he's reacting to, like, certain, because there's that clip went a bit viral last week when he, I think it might have been post Leipzig, he was asked a question in press conference, why did your team play poorly today? Which I don't think is an unreasonable question to ask a team that's just lost. And then his response was, as he's walking, he just flat out refused to answer that question. And then as he's walking out of the press conference, just goes, it's a great question you asked there, mate.
And it's a totally fair question.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
Do you think you were playing your best? Like, when you lose 1-0 at home to Leipzig, was that your best performance?
And then if you do think you played well, you say, well, I don't think we played poorly because...
And give us a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he's capable of doing it when he wants to, but he just... This is the thing with Mourinho. Like, there's so many times where I just think, like... Actually, I think being his publicist would be, like, the worst job in the world, because he just says bad stuff all the time. But I kind of would love to just sit him down and be like, you don't actually have to be this angry.
Yeah.
All the time, like, that's the thing. Like, he came in, he was like, oh, I'm happy now, and like,
I am the happy one,
and now he's immediately furious. Like, after a couple of months, you're like, oh my god, like, the squad just needs to be picked up a little bit. And you know, 2 months ago, he was saying, like, look what I've done to Dele Alli, I've rejuvenated him, and now he's just like, well, I took him off because he was rubbish. And once he came off, we were so much better. And you're like, so why put it that way? Like, it just seems strange. So, anyway, let me show you their running. And we'll talk about where we think they're going to end up. So they're running. They've got Wolves, Burnley, United, West Ham,
big one,
Sheffield, Everton, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Newcastle, Leicester, and they finish away to Palace.
We do usually beat them at their place.
That is true, actually. No.
We don't usually beat them at their place. We usually beat them. We always play them around my birthday. And then we're doing it again this year.
So 20th of March.
It's day after my birthday.
Nice.
And we always get a result. always get a result.
All right, well, I mean, because the rest of the fixtures, I've got to say, you're one of three fixtures in here. I think three? No, four fixtures in here, which are not against teams in the top half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got you, they've got Newcastle, they've got Palace, and they've got Bournemouth. Those are the only teams in this 10 that are, I think it's 10, that are not in the top half.
Yeah.
That is... They haven't got Chelsea, they haven't got Liverpool, they haven't got City, but it's still quite a tough running.
I think they're gonna struggle more with this running. I think he prefers playing like teams where they're not expecting to win, like Chelsea, the cities, because then he has an excuse and he comes in as the underdog. But these games, they should be winning at least half of these games.
But even when he goes in as the underdog, he doesn't. Now it doesn't change anything. Yeah. It doesn't change anything. Like, you see it against Leipzig. I mean, maybe to the untrained English eye, Spurs were heavy favourites against, you know, some team from a town in Germany.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't. Leipzig are the better team. Chelsea, I just don't know about Mourinho anymore. I just can't see when he eventually leaves Spurs, because whether it's this summer or in 8 years, he will eventually leave Spurs.
Mm.
I can't see any job that he's getting after that. At a top Champions League
club. Oh, no,
club.
Not well, unless he goes to, like, Italy or something.
Unless he goes back to Italy, which...
There are always weird standards in Italy.
Or if he manages Portugal.
Mm.
I can't see him managing in the Premier League again after this. I can't see him going back to Real Madrid. Obviously, he's not going to manage Barcelona. Obviously, he's not going to manage Atleti. You just can't see what his next step is.
Mm. He was kind of lucky to get this job, to be fair.
Yeah, I think so.
The way his last relationships end with two of his former clubs in the same league as well, like, it's a bit odd, but...
Ridiculous, man.
But at the same time, you love it.
Yeah, like, the thing is,
he wanted the Arsenal job. So
I genuinely love Mourinho. Don't get it twisted. I love him.
Why?
And I'll always love him. Just because of what he done for us and football in general. But at the same time, I don't like seeing him go outside like this. Like, I feel like he can be successful at Spurs, but he needs to not just say the changes that he's thinking of making in terms of just being happier and changing up pieces of his philosophy. Just, like, let us see the changes rather than you coming out saying the team are happier, or the first month you're saying, yeah, this is what I've done for this player. Then 2 months later, you're benching him and you're basically hanging him out to dry. Like, we don't need to see that side of you anymore.
It's like,
it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
It's like if you had in November a Mourinho comment bingo card, you'd already have a full house. He's already said absolutely everything says about, from, like, oh, Dele Alli, I said to him, are you Dele Alli or are you your brother?
Oh my god.
I took him off because he was rubbish and then we played brilliantly after him. I mean, like, he's already like picking on Ndombele, but there's already that friction there that you saw with, like, Luke Shaw at United.
I'm just glad,
like, he's it's not even been 6 months and he's already got the buzz cut.
Oh yeah, that is the haircut of, like, a man who's, like, emotionally on the ropes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I looked at that and I was just like, that is full mental breakdown, like, haircut from Mourinho. Yeah.
Did you hear the excuse? The excuse was great.
No, what was the excuse? Was it like the barber went up a little bit on one side?
He fell asleep in the barber's chair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he didn't like the haircut when he woke up. So he said, cut it all off.
Oh, right, okay.
That's kind of believable, though. That happens.
No, it
sometimes.
Isn't.
It does happen.
What are you talking about?
Like, sometimes when you're getting a trim, you might fall asleep and then you
How
wake
extreme
up.
Was the trim?
How long are you
well,
getting
I'd wake
a trim
him
for?
Up. Like, the barber would be like, wake up,
no,
bro.
But it's
like,
Jose,
because
you
need to move your head.
You just don't want to disturb him.
Yeah, but if the alternative is giving him a bad cut, I'd be like, no, I'm waking him up.
Yeah, it might be.
Also, like, the scissors.
Did he nod off and then the trimmer just went like...
Maybe.
Yeah, like, if he fell asleep as it was happening, that I could believe. Where somebody was just, like, doing this and he just goes... Yeah, that would make sense to me, but I don't know. I feel like this is Mourinho did this himself. I think Mourinho, you know, like in a movie when they go... Well, you wouldn't know because you've never seen a film. But, well, you know, when they look in the mirror... And then they shave their head. There's always like a scene in the film where someone shaves their head.
Jose,
like, oh, I'm so emotional.
Jose Mourinho.
So weird.
He's gone full Britney.
He's gone full what?
Britney.
Yeah, he's got, yeah, that is what it is. This is like 05 Britney. That's what Mourinho is right now. So, just to bring it back, Spurs, Champions League, out of the round of 16, all agreed?
Yeah.
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 FA Cup, do they win? How far do they go? I don't know what round we're on. Don't really care.
We're on to the fifth round, the one before the quarters.
God above. Okay.
So 16. So many 16 rounds. Teams in it.
I don't because there's so many rounds, I don't see them.
I mean, I don't see him going on to win it. But obviously, it depends on the draw. It depends who you're going to get.
Whatever. And in the league, position.
I said before that I think they're going to stay around fifth or sixth. But now, I just don't see where they're going to score, how they're going to score. Their team just doesn't look great.
But then again, you do look at the teams below them and you're like, Sheffield United. I feel like Sheffield United are probably playing at about... I don't think they're going to get better.
Yeah.
Wolves are on
decent form. I feel like they're underrated.
But do you think they're a lot better than this?
I think they can be better than Spurs, especially. And also Arsenal as well. You guys have... Arsenal have been quite decent. Since the turn of the year, United had a good, decent last game.
Well, United are already ahead of them. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, United have supposedly got the easiest run in the league.
Mm.
And I kind of feel like United are just going to stay ahead of them now. Like, when I look at the teams behind them, I agree that like Wolves and Arsenal are the only teams there where you think I could see them kind of getting hot for like a run of like 6 to 10 games.
Yeah.
Sheffield, I feel like, have been pretty hot all season.
Yeah.
Burnley, I think, are probably also topping out at talent level.
Yeah, but if you look,
still kind of, I think the Son injury thing is a lie.
Really?
Do you reckon?
Yeah. No, I think
rest of the season.
I don't think it's like the rest of the season. And like he does do this, Mourinho. We're still in February, man. Yeah. Like he's done this before. Like I remember, if Arsenal were playing Chelsea and it was like 6 weeks time, he'd be like, "Cech's not going to be back for it. Like Cole's going to be out injured. Lampard, I don't think he's going to make it." And come the day, they'd all be in the starting lineup, not even on the bench. The starting.
But what is? What have they got for Son? Like, why would you say the rest of the season for Son? There's nothing. Are they playing Arsenal? Is Son going to be back for the Arsenal game?
I mean,
I don't even know.
That's at the end of April.
How long's a broken arm?
When people broke their arms at school, I swear, like after 6 weeks, the cast was off. After like 10 to 12 weeks, they'd be fine, right?
Mm. But so the only thing is, he played with it. Like while he was hurting, so he might have done more damage.
I suppose, but like, God, it's hard to say, isn't it? But I just feel like I'll be amazed if we don't see Son again this season.
Yeah, same to me. Knowing him as well, like, I reckon he'll come back. I don't know if he'll be 100% though. That's the thing. I can see Jose like telling him.
Yeah, I mean, if Jose
wear a cast and just play on or something.
If the things Jose have said this season, you know, if you go back to that sort of bingo card, it's. You know, he's saying about Ndombele didn't want to play through the pain.
Yeah.
It's like...
And then when they play through the pain, he's like, oh, he's a good lad. He always plays through the pain. Like, yeah. But now he's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like they'll probably finish sixth, but I just want them to finish seventh with Arsenal above them. That's what I'm going to go for.
Fair enough.
Or even sixth.
I don't think they'll get Champions League football.
Yeah, no chance.
I think Chelsea and Leicester are too far ahead and are better than them. United... probably about the same level as them, but have got an easier run in and are already ahead of them.
I look forward to seeing them play Alkmaar in like the Europa League qualifiers next year.
We're going to batter them. We're going to batter them at the new White Hart Lane. We're going to go on to beat Liverpool at the end.
Yeah. I would love for that to happen.
I would love that to happen as well. All right, but it probably won't. Let's move on to Chelsea. Okay, so this is obviously a headline. Last night's game, Chelsea were battered. I think that's a fair term. 3-0 at home by Bayern Munich. European hopes over. Lost the first leg.
Come on.
What do you mean it's not over?
It's the Champions League.
Yes, exactly. League.
And we've seen this happen many a time.
Away from home?
When has a team gone away to like the Allianz
3-0,
arena?
3-0, sure.
That is our arena. Don't get it twisted. That's our arena.
You know, he's got a point, actually. Yeah, like, I forgot that.
Yeah. Anything can happen. We've had a miracle in that arena before and we can
have
it.
Were you three goals down in that miracle?
No, we weren't.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, crazier things have happened.
Are you going to bring Didier Drogba back just for the game?
Maybe. Maybe he will make it.
You might as well, because Giroud was basically playing like Drogba would probably play now last night. Like, I actually thought he had some moments in the first half, like, because aerially, he had the beating of Boateng all night. Yeah. And, the, you know, he was, like, heading it on for, like, Mount and...
Barkley.
And I was kind of like, okay, if you had Pulisic running off him or Hudson-Odoi, I could kind of see it.
Mm.
And there were a couple of moments, like Mount at one point, like just stepped inside of Alphonso Davies and hit a shot over. But there was never like a big chance.
Yeah. I just didn't, watching that game, especially like the first half, I kind of felt that we were lucky for them not to have scored. But I felt like we were unlucky to not take one of our half chances.
I mean, the way you were saying it to me in the office this morning was that Bayern did batter you and Bayern did deserve to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you took any of your half chances, it would be a different story.
Yeah, and it's also defensively, we've been very poor this season. But watching that game and seeing like just slight mistakes lead to goals, it's just like we're playing against Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
The best German team in the last decade. Like, these lot are robots. If you make a mistake, they will literally just do three or four passes, and it's a goal. And that's literally what happened.
The goals were so simple.
Yeah, and it looked so simple, but it's like, we were holding them for 45 minutes, going to the second half, and then we just capitulate.
That was true. Like, I looked at the stats, like, in the first half, I did think Bayern were the better side,
yeah.
But Chelsea had 7 shots, Bayern had 6. In the second half, Bayern had 10 shots, Chelsea had 2.
Yeah.
2
at home.
In the second half, which is unreal. And I mean, like, Bayern had some of Bayern's worst chances in that second half were bigger than the best ones Chelsea had.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, that's a little bit unfair because I thought, for example, like, Willian put a cross right across the box. Like, there were a few crosses that went across the line where no one gets a shot away exactly, so it doesn't go in the shot count. But you're like, that is a chance.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, it's those small margins that make a good team great. Do you get what I'm saying? And I feel like we're a good team right now, but we're missing that, like, cutting edge. Even when Tammy came on, like, I was really excited, obviously, him playing the Champions League, playing against Bayern and stuff, but it's like, once you get that ball from Willian, and even Pedro did it when he came on, just busting the gut, like that instinct of just trying to get there, like this being your only chance at a shot of goal, like just busting the gut. I just feel like we didn't really have that. And a lot of the players looked nervous, looked uncomfortable. Obviously, Bayern are really good, so I understand. And they press in like fives, like no joke.
Yeah.
When James was getting the ball, or even our midfielders, Jorginho and Kovacic were trying to do the interchanging passes that they do a lot of the time, but they weren't allowed to do it at all. And that's where a lot of our mistakes came from as well.
There were some really sloppy giveaways.
Yeah.
At the end of the first half, I thought, like, you kept trying to play out, like, kind of through the left back area.
Mm.
And like Marcus Alonso, I don't rate Marcus Alonso, and he ended up getting sent off, which was pretty funny.
Former Sunderland player.
Yeah, terrible. Understandably terrible. but they just kept like he would just pass it inside to a Bayern player again and again and again.
But it's
and
just I was like you're watching that.
Rudiger was just like, oh my God.
I mean, come on.
How much of this is, obviously, I haven't watched Chelsea too much this season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why would I? But how much...
They're actually surprisingly fun.
How much has Lampard sort of rotated the squad in recent weeks? Or has it been sort of a consistent...
It's been hard to
rotate. Is this a case of it's the same team playing every game most of the time, and it's just sort of that mental and physical fatigue because they're so young.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Like, Reece James hadn't played any Premier League football before this season.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the other players, like Mount had a little... I don't know, Mount didn't have anything before this.
It's so wild.
Like, Tammy Abraham's probably the only one that did, and
he had like one...
He was shit at Swansea.
Do you know how crazy it is to go from like... Last season, you're like in the Championship playing like Luton and Preston and stuff. Then this season, you're like, I'm playing Bayern Munich.
In the Champions League. Like, 16. It's mad.
And
it's
Mount,
mad.
I thought... Mount shoots a lot, but Mount... It was hard to... Mount looked... I'm not going to say looked out of his depth, but like I looked at Reece James looked more at that level to me.
Mm.
But I've actually been really converted to Reece James, and annoyingly, I think he's really good.
No, he's really good. But yesterday, I think Davies showed him like levels.
How good was Davies?
Yeah, like he's just
he's unreal.
He's so deceptively fast. Mm. Like you look at him and you're thinking that he's not running that fast, but then he just burst,
turns it on,
like, and it's just like they couldn't handle.
Yeah, I saw a quote from Hansi Flick this morning. It said something along the lines of, "This is the fastest player we've ever had at Bayern."
Really,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it has been years since they've had somebody who can turn it on to even like a tenth of the degree that Davies can up the pitch.
In the second half, he didn't make a tackle or interception, which I think shows you like how dominant they were. Yeah, and he completed 6 dribbles in the second half and got the assist for Lewandowski's goal. Lewandowski got a goal and 2 assists.
Mm.
Thiago, I think, made 5 tackles. I think he made 10 tackles and interceptions put together.
Mm.
Like, everyone was just on it last night. Like, genuinely, I was looking at the stats. Thomas Müller created 5 chances. Like, Gnabry as well as two goals. Gnabry made seven tackles and interceptions, which is the same number as Kovacic, who actually, Kovacic completed nine dribbles. Kovacic was like on one.
Yeah. He's your best player this season.
Yeah.
But when Kovacic does this, do you not think sometimes it's when Chelsea are bad? You know, when you see Kovacic just being like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and he just
yeah.
starts trying to dribble through like an entire team, yeah. and you can't do that to Bayern because they've got Kimmich and Thiago and everyone else.
But that's the thing; that's what happens when you're like missing those wide men that you can kind of like release that burden to. Like he has to give it to Barkley and Mount, and I'm not saying that they're not good out wide, but they're not great.
Sure, you know?
Mount is better.
Well, they're not wingers, are they?
Yeah, they're not wingers, but Mount is better inside. That's why I kind of thought that Willian should have started just to give
he was
us.
Good when he came on.
Yeah, he was, and that's the thing. Like, give us a natural wide man to take on the wing backs and to deliver balls. Because Barkley just, I get what Lamps is trying to do by giving us another option. Like, if it's on the right, telling him to cut inside and being another option inside. But when the ball's on that side, he just doesn't do what you'd want a winger to do, like face your man up and try and beat him.
Yeah.
And even Mount, when he was trying to do it, Davies just read him the whole time. And it's just, it's annoying that these are the problems we're going through, because if we did have Pulisic, we had Hudson-Odoi, we would have just...
Hazard.
Don't say that, come on. There's no reason to do that. He's injured now anyway, so it's
yeah,
calm.
That's true.
But yeah, we would have just looked a lot better if we had natural wide men.
And even just some pace. Like yeah. like that front line of like Barkley, Mount, Giroud, like his speed wise, even just speed wise, leaving aside like dribbling ability, which is also a massive difference, right?
Mm.
It's so far off Abraham, Hudson-Odoi, Pulisic.
Yeah.
All those guys individually are really fast, whereas none of those three are fast. Like Barkley and Mount have got bursts, but they're not like actually quick. Yeah. And I mean, on this night in particular, it felt like, I mean, it was anticipation as well in Alphonso Davies. I don't want to just like chalk it up to athleticism, but you know, sometimes you watch a team. I used to watch Arsenal and just think like, we just do not have top level athleticism.
Yeah, yeah.
And admittedly, this is like, I'd say it's below your second choice front line. It's probably like your third or fourth choice front line.
Mm.
But that drop off in just like elite physicality just seemed like really stark.
Yeah.
Whereas I actually thought the rest of your team, I thought Christensen and Rudiger were good. I thought Kovacic was pretty good. I felt a bit sorry for Jorginho. I thought he was okay.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the team, I thought you could actually be reasonably
going forward,
happy
that's been our problem though. Lampard said it like literally week in, week out, that our problem going forward, we create the chances, but we don't, like it's either the final pass or the striker getting onto the final ball. And it's just those problems that you cannot take into the last 16 of the Champions League,
yeah.
because you're going to come up against Bayern Munich, who have probably the best striker in the world right now,
yeah.
have two of the most exciting wingers in the world. They have Thiago, who is just a baller. And it's just, you can't have those problems coming up against teams like that, because once you get two chances, you have to take one. Because if you don't, what happened in the second half will happen again.
So what do you do for the second leg?
Do you just kind of bin it off? Because you can't have like a totally like humiliating loss.
Yeah, I'm not really on getting embarrassed.
And sorry, Patrick, but you can't go full Arsenal and go just go like another 3-0 defeat.
Yeah. Well, or we would never lose 3-0.
Are you 5-1? But like, I mean, your options are, you put out, I know it's in like a month or so, but you probably put out a very similar team to this and based on last night, probably lose 3-0 again. Or you just rest the players that you can rest in anticipation for a top four battle.
I'm hoping we have a few of our players back. Like Loftus-Cheek would be really good.
Like, would you use it as a game to like give Loftus-Cheek 60 minutes as fitness?
Yeah,
give Hudson-Odoi a bit of time as fitness or something like that.
I'll do the same formation, but I'll change up the personnel, just because I don't think the formation is the problem. But like Pat said, I just don't think we're good enough when we have wide men that aren't actually wide men and have a striker that, yeah, Giroud's good at what he does, but when you're trying to turn
it's
a
not
team
good at
over
anything else.
He's not going to be the one running onto the board, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. Hopefully Tammy's fully fit, Hudson-Odoi is back, Pulisic is back. I genuinely want Pulisic to just play against Bayern, because I can imagine him just turning it on. Like, I've got a feeling.
Well, that Bundesliga.
Yeah.
He knows them.
You're still going out.
Yeah, we're going out. It's calm.
I don't think it'd be the worst thing for Chelsea to go out, because then I think they'll just like wrap up fourth spot in the league, maybe even push as high as third, because like, it's only 6 points to Leicester.
Are you still in the FA Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who have you got in the next round?
I don't know. I don't actually know, you know.
Can't remember.
Yeah, I don't even remember. But Bayern, I think people had written Bayern off a little bit because they were like, they don't have a real manager. Like, they've had some struggles this season. But, like, they're the third team in the history of the Champions League to have won their first seven games.
They've, like, I heard this on Monday, they are, their group stage record is the best record in Champions League history.
Yeah, I'm not shocked, man.
In terms of the six wins and, like, a plus 24 goal difference or something like that.
No, but they're genuinely, they're robotic. Their team, like, you don't, they're the type of team that you can change up the manager and the team will like, play the same.
Sort of a plug and play. Like, you take a player out, you put another player in.
Yeah, like, Flick is the seventh manager to win his first four matches in the Champions League. The last one was Simeone back in 2013. I truly, truly believe I'd have won all those games as Bayern manager.
No, genuinely.
Although, genuinely. I might not have done it as well. We might not have won, like, 7-2 or whatever. No, actually, that was the Kovac one. But, like, I feel like I would have been all right.
Did you hear
what,
like, yeah, go out there, guys. Rummenigge said yesterday, or may have even been this morning. So it was Hansi Flick's birthday yesterday or the day before, okay, or something like that. And Rummenigge got him a pen as a gift.
Oh, sick.
And said,
hooray,
this is a pen you can sign your name on buying papers with. Almost hinting that... they might not look for a new manager in the summer.
Well, if he wins the Champions League, they kind of got to give him it.
They're going to go full Di Matteo.
Oh, yeah. God.
No, but he's done really well. And the team, team looked confident, comfortable. And the relationship that he has with them, like, you can tell, even at the full-time whistle, like, a lot of the players just seem really happy with him.
Mm.
So I think if they kind of try to force a move for someone else, I don't know if it will be beneficial for them just because they're so comfortable and they're doing so well as well.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, he's also gone full German manager. Like, when he started, he was in tracksuits, and now he's like, you see German managers on the sideline, jeans.
Yeah, sort of like
change up the swag.
Yeah,
just like one of those, like, knitted jumpers with, like, they're like polo shirt.
They're like dad in the park. You know, yeah, like he's got a kid, like, in like a carrier on the front, yeah, and he's also got, like, a Starbucks, like, yeah, in a gilet, like, that's like Nagelsmann is that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching the Hamburg derby at the weekend, and I think the St. Pauli manager was exactly how you'd imagine a St. Pauli supporter to dress.
Cool.
Just like jeans. He was literally jeans and shoes.
Nice.
And then like some sort of band t-shirt on with a leather jacket.
I love St. Pauli though, man. St. Pauli, a gangster team. So, okay. Predictions. Bayern, where are they going to end up in the Champions League?
They could win it. I'm not going to lie. They could win it.
Are you predicting they will win it? Because anything could happen.
It all depends on the draw.
Chelsea might not be embarrassed again in the second leg.
Yeah.
But I think we all know that they will be.
I don't think we're going to get embarrassed.
Well,
I don't think
you're going to stay embarrassed.
Yeah, we're already embarrassed anyway. I think they'll touch semis.
Yeah?
100%.
And go out.
I think it'd be a disappointment for them if they didn't at least reach the semis.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, then Flick doesn't stay. Even
but then it depends. Like, I know we're not going to talk about them in this section, but then it's like Barcelona might go out. They could potentially lose to Napoli.
Mm. Yeah, Barcelona.
And then that's sort of one of the favourites, regardless of how they are.
Nah,
that's one of the favourites gone.
There are only two and a half teams left.
One of Real Madrid and Manchester City won't be in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go for
Liverpool have to overturn it against Atleti.
Bayern to win it.
Nice. I'm going to say Bayern to win it.
I think they'll make the final.
Very excited.
If they get the right draw.
Yeah.
Like, because the only teams that I put above them, like, truly, are City, Liverpool, and maybe PSG. But I have no idea how good PSG are, because this is the only way we have of gauging the Champions League.
And two of those teams are having to come from behind in the second leg, and one of them is playing Real Madrid.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's exciting.
Very.
All right, let's move on to anything but football. Okay, so... anything but football this week is just a story that we found this morning.
Struggled a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, we did have a tough time with this one, I'm going to be honest. Baboons escaping vasectomies in Sydney. So three baboons escaped from their cage inside a hospital, which I have so many questions.
In a hospital?
Yeah.
Not a veterinary hospital.
Okay, so they're bred for medical research, these baboons, right?
Right.
What? They're like the best of the best. They're like the best. Okay. Anyway, they've been transferred to this hospital so one could have a vasectomy. But
just one of them?
Apparently. I think the others were there for like moral support. I don't really know. Like, but they were like... fuck this. I'm not sticking around for this. And so they managed to find their way outside. There's just like video footage of people filming
them.
And I was just like,
to be fair, what are you going
to
do?
Well, you're not going to do that. Because, like, okay, I want to move on from this into like unusual run-ins with animals, because like when I was a kid, like my dad's Zimbabwean, and like when I was a kid and we went on safari in South Africa, I remember like we were driving up to like where we were staying, like the kind of like the village in Tlutlui Game Park, which is in like the kind of the northeastern area of South Africa. Sure. And like you're in like a little kind of convoy of cars, like obviously coming in, and obviously it's all Americans. And basically like a troop of baboons come out of like a bit of like a group of trees nearby and start coming towards the cars. And my dad was just like, wind up the windows, like close the thing. He was just like, you don't, like, we close all the windows, because he was like, baboons have like massive teeth, right? Like lions. And all these Americans in front of us are like winding down windows, like throwing crisps out to the baboons. So like the baboons are climbing over the car and like pulling aerials and stuff. And my dad was just like, oh my God, these people are such idiots. And as a result, like when I, to me, a baboon is like quite a dangerous animal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was amazed at all these, I suppose if you live in Australia, you're used to seeing dangerous animals. You're just like, oh my God, look at this. Like, but but it was weird that they were all just filming them and they're just like, oh, look at these baboons. And they're, anyway, moving on from that. Have you ever had an unusual run-in with an animal? And if so, what was it? And I feel like you have something.
Nah,
you know, when I asked you this, you went really quiet and I was like, Sam's got something here.
It's not, I don't even know if it's, okay, it is unusual. It's very unusual. But like, it's more scary.
Because when I asked you about this earlier, like, you immediately brought up snakes.
Yeah, nah, that's not that bad.
Okay, right.
Okay.
That worried me.
Okay, it's kind of that bad.
Okay.
So basically, you know when you go to like Florida and
it's not that bad. It is kind of that bad.
Because I tried to forget about it, you know, because it was young and trauma, you know, those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, you know when they at the theme parks or animal parks, they put the
for a photo. Yeah.
So I was just being a soldier and I was like, yeah, put a snake around my neck, whatever. They put the snake around my neck, yeah, and no word of a lie, when I say I started losing air, I was like I started feeling like the snake genuinely was,
as
wrapping,
in it was like
wrapping around me.
It wasn't just you freaking out.
No, it was wrapping around me, but I had the end of the snake. So
the end of the snake. Which end?
No, like,
the two ends.
Not the head. The tail.
I had the tail of the snake,
because obviously there was three of us. But when they put it on, I was like, oh yeah, this is fine. But literally, as it started wrapping around, I thought it was normal until I literally started losing breath. And my mum and my dad, they started like wilding out. They're like, get off!
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And then since that moment, bring a snake or anything around me, I'm not on it.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's right. Because when you was talking about, I was going to mention the time when I had like a run-in with like a few foxes. Like, it was mad.
A run-in?
You can just imagine him walking down this alley and it's like three foxes just like come out from around the corner.
That's what it was, bro.
What?
I'm not joking. I swear to you, I'm not joking. You know when...
where are we talking?
In Sidcup, like my area.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm walking home, yeah. It's a late night. I see one fox. And you know when you see one fox and you're like, it's in front of you. I don't really like engaging with foxes because I don't really know what they're on sometimes, yeah.
But does anybody engage with foxes?
No, but you know, you like,
no, I don't know. Some people, that they're like, oh, they're really cute or whatever. And you're like, no, it's not. It's a wild animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried to stamp it to tell it to go away and stuff, yeah.
And it just called its mate.
It wasn't going away. So I just started running at it and then it ran off.
Started running at it.
But listen to this, yeah. It ran off. No word of a lie. 10 seconds later, came back around the corner with two other foxes.
I was like,
yeah, is this what you're on?
I just started running. Foxes.
I was not ramping. I'm not trying to be on anything. Not trying to get anything. I just started running like for my life. So I didn't turn around. Nothing.
You didn't check they were following you.
No, didn't check.
Sorry. So you ran. So hang on. Let me just get this right. So you're walking towards like home or whatever. Fox comes out in front of you. So it's between you and kind of the route you take.
Yeah. And home.
So then you run towards it.
Yeah.
It runs off around a corner.
Yeah.
Comes back with two foxes.
Yeah.
What direction do you run in now?
I run, but you think I'm running towards them?
No, but you had to run backwards
and take a detour, like the long way home. And when I say I've genuinely never been so scared of wild animals in my life. Because like, my road is a bit weird. They like foxes are just out here. Like on a normal day, like 12 o'clock in the morning.
Foxes
like,
are out here. Like,
you could actually just see them randomly. Like it's mad.
Oh my god. Yeah,
that was my with running with animals.
That is mental.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah, I don't like foxes. I don't really. I'm good with animals now. I like dogs that are calm. You know.
I know what you mean.
Like, I don't like it when dogs are out of control.
Like, when they're jumping up and like yapping, I'm just like. Sometimes, if you know it, it's nice. If you don't, like, my next door neighbor has like two big staffies, and they're way too big for the house. And I've gone out in the front. Like one time, I went out like the door to go, and they come running over. They're really friendly, but because they're massive, they're like quite intimidating.
Yeah.
But anyway, one starts jumping up at me. And like scrabbling, and I was kind of like, hi. And then I like looked down and I'm literally just covered in mud.
Yeah.
And I was just like, thanks. And like their owner was just like, oh, stop it. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
So I had to literally go back into the house and change immediately. And I was just like, control your dog.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like when a kid gets in your way in the street, you know, like a kid gets in your way on the street and you're like, oh, Jesus. Like, because you don't want to like kick a kid in the head. And then like, and then sometimes you're like going around it and like, I was going to say the owner, like the parent goes, they're just a kid. And you're like, I'm not annoyed at the kid. I'm annoyed at you. You're the problem. Yeah, the child is fine. Yeah. They don't know better. Yeah. The dog's fine. The dog actually wants to be my friend, but now I'm covered in mud.
Yeah.
Jeez. I hate those people. And they don't put their rubbish properly in the bins, or they didn't for a long time. So they'd leave out a bin bag. We come out in the morning, foxes have ripped it open, obviously, because you're like, and then they'd be like, it would stay there a couple of days till they got asked to pick it up. And I was just like, put it in the bin and the foxes, you won't have to pick up rubbish.
Yeah.
I have issues with my neighbours.
you could tell.
My neighbours idiots. But they're scum.
Yeah.
But they're just scum. Like their Christmas tree has just been sitting on the pavement outside our house since Christmas.
Wow.
And I was like, after like, you know, like people took it out and put it on the street. And I think, I don't know if this is a thing that happened, but maybe 20 years ago, like people would take them away. But now like the bin men are, you know, like, you know, okay, you don't live in London, but like, you know what bin men are like in London, where they're like, if it's not in the bag and it's not in the bin, I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
And so this like Christmas tree has just been sitting like out on the street for ages, and it's so depressing now because it's just like a lifeless, like leafless Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And I see it every day, and it makes, and I'm gonna like post it through there, like, I'm just going to put it in piece by piece.
That's
I think after like a couple of days, maybe they were just like, they don't want to admit that it's theirs. But anyway, we've got off piece.
Yes.
What's your animal story, Mike?
My animal story. It's one of my favourite stories. It's like one of my defining life experiences.
This is excellent.
I went to, you can probably see where this is going when I name the city. I went to Pamplona.
Okay, yeah, sure.
A few years ago, 2015, I think, because my ex
I do know this story.
Yeah, my ex... Do you know this story, Sam?
No, I don't know.
My ex was studying in Pamplona for the year, and Pamplona is where they do San Fermín, which is the bull running festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't quite go down that route, although it does end with a hospital trip.
Oh, gosh.
so we'd got up at like 4 a.m. or something like that, because it is absolutely, the streets are absolutely packed. It's something like San Fermín, something like, I read, like the second biggest festival in the world.
Really?
It's like Mardi Gras, San Fermín.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like Pamplona gets absolutely overrun by tourists in that week.
That's the stressful thing, okay, about the bull running thing. When I see it, I think, okay, the bull's stressful enough. But what's annoying is it's like when you're crossing a road and someone like walks across you and then you can't get out of the road. Like, I imagine you'd be trying to get out of the way of a bull, but there are too many people in your way. And then I'd be like, freaking out.
Yeah. So we'd got up at like 4 a.m. and we'd found prime position on the route. We weren't planning to run. We didn't want to run. We just wanted to get in like the prime position to watch them as they all ran through into like the bull ring, into the main arena.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all the bulls had run through, we decided that, sort of a split second, we just looked at each other and was like, yeah, let's do it. So we sort of hopped the fence and sprinted into the bull ring so we could then be in the bull ring. And then we jumped. So, you know, like the bull ring, you got the bull ring and you got like the pit around the edge.
Okay.
And then like the seating's like way up here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were, because there were so many people there, and obviously people get tickets to sit in. So me and my ex were in the ring around the outside just watching. And then what they do after all the bulls have gone through is they get out the baby bulls to play, which sounds cute.
The baby bulls.
But they're still fucking bulls.
Yeah.
They're still absolutely... They act like puppies, but they're massive.
Mm.
They're absolutely massive. But like their horns, their horns are like corked, but I don't think that makes any difference.
They actually put little corks on them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
adorable.
So they were getting out to play. There's like 200-300 people in this pit, just like trying to like goad the bull a little bit, and then like everyone, and then it sort of trots towards them, and then you hear everyone go, oh, and everyone just sort of splits, and it's like this little, well, obviously it's not a puppy, but like it's this little bull just, well, it's still a big bull, goes towards them, and everyone just moves out of the way. So we were on the edge. We were sort of hanging on the edge of the ring on the outside, sort of leaning over, so we could jump in if we wanted to, but obviously we're not dumb, we're not going to jump in. But then the people next to us start sort of goading the bull a little bit.
Oh god.
Yeah. So they start sort of goading it, and then the bull obviously clocks onto them and starts staring at them, so then they keep doing it. And then the bull just charges at them, leaps the wall.
Oh no.
Yeah. Absolutely just leaps the wall. So literally this far away. I've got a picture of it somewhere where the bull jumped. It was in the paper. It was in the paper.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
You can imagine like the journalist it was, waiting and being like this guy.
Yeah,
amazing.
It was in the paper, so we managed to find it where the ball was like midair.
No way.
And like we're like 2 foot away from it. So I'm obviously everyone absolutely panics. I was sort of stood with my girlfriend in front of me, and when the ball jumped over, she just disappeared. Didn't know where she was gone. And I was like, fuck, I've got to deal with myself here. So I thought, right, the ball's out here. The best place to be is in there. Mm. So I hopped the wall. It's the fastest I've ever moved. So it's, the wall's like 5 foot, almost 6 foot. And I was just there sort of like it was like, you know, and it's just hop over. It's like the most athletic I've ever been. Straight over, sort of landed so awkwardly. Everybody else behind me had the same idea. I was at the bottom of the pile.
Oh.
as everybody else was, like, every time I tried to get up, someone else would land on me and sort of I'd get thrown back to the ground. And then I get up and look, and this ball's just like running around the edge, and I was like, I have no idea where my girlfriend is right now.
Oh,
I have
like,
absolutely
mad.
No idea where she is. And then eventually they manage to get the ball back in, and then I hop back over, and it's like at this moment I'm like all the adrenaline. It's like, I just need to find her. I went to the medical people. She wasn't the medical people. It turns out she'd found this tiny little hole, and she was hidden in this little hole. And she said that she wasn't sure if it was safe or not. So she sort of poked her head out. And as she poked her head out, the ball just went running past her.
No way.
Yeah. And then we decided, you know, we should probably go home. So we left like immediately after that.
Yeah.
And then as we were leaving, it's like, you know what? My arm really, really hurts. Because like as you start to calm down.
Yeah, the adrenaline wears off.
Yeah, the adrenaline. Yeah. And my girlfriend knew there was a problem with me because if I get hurt, I always, I don't complain about it. I'll just carry on. But it's okay. Like, you know what? I'm actually in quite a lot of pain here.
I'm the opposite of that, man.
Same. If I stub my toe, I'm telling everyone.
Yeah, we know about that. You stub your toe, you're coming in with crutches. So we went to the hospital, which was a sight, because in the hospital, because San Fermín, there's like the outfit as well. Everybody wears like the white t-shirt, the white shorts, like the red neckerchief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody in the hospital was like that. Because so many people get hurt doing this. So I eventually got seen by the doctor, and I dislocated my elbow.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the jump.
So I sort of landed awkwardly, and then one of the person landed on me. I can't even explain how it happened, but it just sort of went the wrong way, and it also went the wrong way and slammed into the ground.
That's nuts, man.
And yeah, so that's my animal story. that's basically how it ends.
That is traumatic. Wow.
Yeah, had graduation the next week, so you know.
God, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch.
It's fun. I'd happily go back.
But
I wouldn't run again.
Yeah, obviously.
It's not my fault. So it's Spanish dickheads next to me.
On that note. So thanks very much for joining me, guys. And thank you very much to you for watching/listening to this. Make sure to sign up for BOTB at botb.com/... Oh, my God. botb.com/extra. There you go. And you'll have a chance to win the car of your dreams.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, get a Volvo. They're really safe.
No, I want a Maserati.
Oh, whatever. All right.
Just take the cash.
Yeah, okay, fair point. Okay, well, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
It's extra time.
She shoots, and it's a goal.